part two of our March Madness preview on the Amateur Hour podcast. I'm Brian Kipperman here with CBSSports.com's Sam Vecini. A lot of interesting stuff. We're going to hit the West bracket here. And there's a lot of... I'm intrigued by this bracket. There's a lot of matchups, even in the first round, that I want to see.
Yeah, there are some interesting ones. You have North Carolina-Harvard, which Harvard won a game last year. Largely the same team came back. This matchup isn't as cushy as the Cincinnati one was last year, though.
Can you promise me that Tommy Amaker will not win another tournament game, for the love of God?
I can't promise you anything, because North Carolina, if they go cold, they go cold, and they struggle to beat anyone.
Unacceptable. I want a promise.
But I think that North Carolina is a pretty good bet to win that game, I would think. And then they're just too big for Harvard inside.
Then get a nice test. If Arkansas can beat Wofford and North Carolina gets past Harvard, that's a nice front court for our boy Bobby Portis to go up against.
Yeah, definitely. I do have Arkansas beating Wofford. That's one of the upsets that a lot of people are calling. I'm kind of going against the grain on that, because I think that Arkansas has – they play at one of the 10 fastest paces in the NCAA. I want to say they're 9th in pace this year. And Wofford likes to play really slow. But against better teams this year, Wofford has been sped up, it seemed like. So I think that Arkansas is going to play that game at their pace, and I think that Arkansas is going to win that game because of it. I think they're just going to outgun Wofford, basically. So that's going to be an interesting game for sure, just because of the dichotomy of styles and what they're going to try and do differently from each other. But I think that Arkansas wins that game, and it might just be my love of Bobby Portis, like, just showing through.
Which is fully, that's acceptable. That's okay.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, Bobby Portis won SEC Player of the Year. He's great. I've written 2,000 words about him in an article this year because I love him. He's terrific defensively. He's one of the best scorers in the paint in the country. He's able to step away and knock down 20-footers. Like, there's very little that Bobby Portis can't do on a basketball floor, especially on college level.
Could Oregon or Oklahoma State give Wisconsin trouble?
Oregon gave Wisconsin a little bit of trouble last year. But it was a different Oregon team. They lost like 7 of their top 10 minutes getters from last year's Oregon team. So I do think that Oregon beats Oklahoma State and gets into that matchup with Wisconsin. But I think that Wisconsin would just, I think Wisconsin be able to dictate their pace on Oregon, and that game would be slow. And Wisconsin is just a terrifying buzzsaw of efficiency. Offensively, Wisconsin has the best offensive efficiency in the KenPom database history.
They passed Michigan for last year at this point.
Yeah,
that's horseshit.
Yeah, they're incredible. They're absolutely incredible,
and they're really incredible when refs decide not to call fouls on them too. If you didn't know,
yes, I would think that that's typically a good thing considering they're like 16.
Yeah,
their starters all play like 33 to 36 minutes.
Yeah, and when they're kind of hard to beat when you don't get to shoot free throws. Really.
Well, yeah, that was a very strange thing where Michigan did not shoot a single free throw until like the final 30 seconds of its game in the Big Ten quarterfinals against Wisconsin.
No, you picked up on my saltiness. I don't know what could have given that away.
Yeah. Never would have guessed.
No, where do I want to go next now that I'm annoyed and bothered? Didn't Texas Southern beat, like, a couple decent teams?
Texas Southern beat Michigan State and beat Kansas State this year.
So why are they a 15 seed?
They're in the SWAC. They're the first SWAC team to be out of the play-in game in, like, years. Or to be out of the first four, to not be a 16 in, like, years.
Are they, like, decent, or were those just, like, two fluky wins?
They're decent. They're just not going to beat Arizona. Like, if they were playing, like, if they were playing a Xavier, maybe, they could reasonably, like, stay close for a while, I would think. But Arizona's Arizona. They're not gonna cause Arizona problems.
The Georgia State, I never ended up watching the video. Was the coach tearing his ACL celebrating as funny as one would expect, or was it sad?
kind of a combo. Like, it's just sad that, like, that would happen in his moment of jubilation of getting to the NCAA tournament. And then, yeah,
it's
just bad.
It's
just very bad.
It's also really funny. I read it. I needed to watch that video. I forgot to do that before.
It's kind of cool. They lowered the hoop so he could cut down the net, too. Because obviously he wasn't getting up on a ladder.
Oh, my God. I probably would have been in tears by that point. Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, that team has, like, a lot of higher-level talent on them. They have a kid from Kentucky. They had a kid who was at Louisville. And they have his son who some are projecting to be in the draft.
Yeah, no, Georgia State's a talented team, but they ultimately kind of played down to their competition a lot of this year, and it's not particularly what you want to see. You would think that maybe they can shoot some threes against Baylor and keep that close, because Harrow can get into the lane against most teams. You know, Kevin Ware's pretty good second point guard. RJ Hunter's terrific in general. He was averaged over 20 points a game this year. So you would think that they might be able to give Baylor a game. I just think Baylor is an extraordinarily disciplined, good team this year. I really, really like Baylor a lot. So that, I'm not picking that to happen. I think I've seen a few experts pick that to happen as far as Georgia State beating Baylor. But I would not, because Baylor is terrific. They're going to absolutely annihilate Georgia State on the offensive glass. Georgia State is giving up like 35 of their opponents' misses. 35% of their opponents' misses are offensive rebounds, and Baylor is the best offensive rebounding team in the country. So it's going to be a bloodbath in the offensive boards. So I think that Georgia State might be able to beat them on the perimeter, but it's not going to matter inside.
Maybe my favorite round of 64 game is Ohio State and VCU. To see D'Angelo Russell get to play against that style, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I'm an Ohio State grad, and I've basically kind of forgotten that game exists, like, certain points, just because of how busy I've been, and that game's just going to be terrific. It's going to be so much fun to watch those two play, because Shannon Scott and D'Angelo Russell are going to have to deal with that press. And that is not an easy thing to do. That is a tough, high-pressure system. And even with Briante Weber, they're still forcing turnovers. So it's going to be interesting to see if Shannon Scott can limit his turnovers against that team. And, you know, VCU on the other end, like, Ohio State's had trouble defending at points this year. And VCU's had some trouble scoring, it seems like, at points this year to me. So I'm going to be interested to see if VCU seems to have kind of a lack of inside presence. Like, Mo Alie-Cox is really good, but he's still like a 6'6" center, and that's kind of a problem. So normally the way teams are beating Ohio State this year is they're killing them on the glass and just out-energying them. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how VCU deals with Ohio State actually being bigger than them, which is weird for Ohio State this year. And it's going to be interesting to see how Ohio State deals with a team that plays really hard to start games, because VCU plays extremely hard. And Ohio State has been sleepwalking through their first, like, probably 15 minutes of most games this year, especially games that are tougher games. So it's going to be really, really tough for Ohio State. It's going to be really interesting, I would say, for Ohio State to see if they actually get off to a good start in this game, because they're going to have to.
Is there less likely, which team would you pick to ruin us not getting a rematch of Wisconsin and Arizona if you were to, I'm assuming you are picking both of them to get the Elite Eight, but
I am.
If you were going to say this team won't get there, which one would you do?
Baylor.
So you would pick
Baylor
to beat Arizona.
Yeah, I think the Baylor zone that Scott Drew runs, it's a goofy kind of thing where like kind of morphs from like 1-3-1 to like 2-3 sometimes. It's just a very strange zone. And it's going to stagnate Arizona's offense if they get there. Like, Arizona's been a team that's really struggled at times to score this year. TJ McConnell's great, but he's a great pick and roll guard. And that's not how you beat a zone. You don't beat zones by using these high screens and trying to get into the paint against them. And that's what McConnell's good at. So whenever one of your best sources of offense is compromised, it's going to be a problem for an offense that already goes through scoring struggles. UCLA ran like a 3-2 zone against Arizona in the Pac-12 semifinals, and it kind of caused them some problems. So I'm going to be interested in that game. I think that's absolutely the game that Baylor can win.
Gabe York's like a really important player in that game, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Gabe York, Elliott Pitts. Stanley Johnson might be the most important player because you're going to need a guy that can knock down shots from the wing. You're going to need a guy that can attack heavy closeouts on whenever those guys like come right at him on the wing. And he can maybe get into the lane and try and make a play for himself or for someone else. So I think that there are a lot of really important pieces in that game. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm picking Arizona because Arizona was my title pick to start the year. But that's a game that can really go either way.
I've been looking at this one. I like this region. This is a fun region.
If you made me pick what region I think is the toughest, like as far, or maybe not toughest, if you didn't pick a region that is the most talented, I would say that this is probably the most talent-heavy region. But like, it's a very balanced bracket. Like I said in the Midwest podcast, it's a very balanced bracket. But if you made me choose, I would probably say that you have Oregon, who has Pac-12 Player of the Year, Bobby Portis. You have Wisconsin that has Frank Kaminsky. You have Ohio State that has D'Angelo Russell. You have Arizona with a million draft prospects. You have Baylor with Rico Gathers. BYU with Tyler Haas. Georgia State with R.J. Hunter. Harvard with Wesley Saunders. Like, they're even Wofford, his Carl Cochran won.
That name should be illegal.
Player of the Year. Huh?
That name should be illegal.
Carl Cochran.
Yeah.
it's very difficult for me, having just rolled off 15 names before that. So, yeah, like, there are a lot of really good teams. There are really good players in that region.
Now, Ole Miss BYU will be played tonight when this podcast is dropping. Who do you like in that game?
I like BYU. I think that they're going to be able to speed up Mississippi. Mississippi plays fast to begin with, generally. But I think the BYU can do a pretty good job of, getting out. I don't think that Mississippi State has enough on the perimeter. Like, I think they're going to struggle to guard the bigger guards of BYU. Like, Kyle Collinsworth is a 6'6" point guard. And, Stephen Moody's 5'10". Like, you're going to have to put Stephen Moody on probably Tyler Haas. And that's not going to go well, because Moody's fine. He's a good player. He's an active defender. But he's also giving up 6 or 7 inches on Tyler Haas. So it's going to be a problem for Mississippi. You're going to put probably Jarvis Summers on Collinsworth. Collinsworth's bigger than he is by a few inches. And Collinsworth can get into the lane against anyone. So I think that there are going to be a lot of problems for Mississippi trying to defend the guards of BYU in that game.
How do you know all of this off the top of your head? You are a sick human. Just to let you know. It's disgusting. Jesus. Let's see. And then do you think Ole Miss get... So you're picking BYU. BYU Xavier. How do you see that playing out?
I think BYU in that game. That could go either way, though. I don't know.
Xavier is a pretty talented team.
They're pretty good. I think that Stainbrook inside would cause some problems for whoever the hell BYU runs out there at center. Corbin Kafusi. Think they might solve Worthington, like guys like that. They're going to struggle to guard Stainbrook inside. But I just have a weird feeling about BYU. I think that they're one of probably the top 35 teams in the country. So I'm just rolling with it and seeing what happens. I don't really have a good feel of that game.
I was going to say, because Blewett and Reynolds are pretty good players too.
Blewett's pretty good. Davis is pretty good. Reynolds is good. Stainbrook's really good. There's a lot of talent on that team. I just have a weird BYU feeling.
All right, I told you VCU Ohio State was the most interesting game to me. Is that the same to you in this region, or is there another game that really sticks out to you?
In the first round, that's definitely the game I'm most looking forward to. I mean, I'm an Ohio State grad, of course I'm going to say that game. I'm looking forward to Baylor-Georgia State. I think that I want to see how RJ Hunter can do against high-end talent again, because he's getting close to falling out of my first round at this point. Like, he's been playing better, but there have been other guys that have been stepping up, and that's a big thing. He needs to really improve and show that he can knock down threes against longer, better athletes. And I am looking forward to mostly every first round game in this region outside of the top one, like Wisconsin, Coastal Carolina. That's going to be a bloodbath. But Oregon, Oklahoma State's intriguing to me. I think that Oregon probably wins, but Oklahoma State's been a decent team at points this year. Arkansas Wofford has the pace battle. That's going to be interesting to me. I like Harvard a lot, so I'm going to be interested to see if North Carolina just imposes their will inside on Harvard. And then Xavier, BYU, or Mississippi is going to be a good game. Baylor, Georgia State is going to be a good game. VCU, Ohio State is going to be a good game. So this is a really, really high-end first-round region that's going to be fun.
Game, you have to pick one game. You can only watch one game in this entire region throughout until we hit the Final Four. What would it be?
Wow, see, the way you word that question, it's so difficult, because, like, what if like, VCU gets into the Elite Eight, and I get stuck with, like, VCU over, what if I get stuck with, like, a VCU-North Carolina game?
You can pick any matchup you want. If you think that, go right ahead. That's the point of it.
I would say it's clear. Like, the best matchup that can happen in this region is the rematch of last year's West Regional Elite Eight, Wisconsin and Arizona.
Yeah, but this question isn't what's the best, it's which one you would like to see the most. So it can be funky.
That is the one I would like to see most, for sure. Unequivocally. That is, to me, that would probably be the best game of the tournament.
Wisconsin-Arizona?
Yes, because Arizona is going to be able to go small against Wisconsin. They'll put Brandon Ashley on Frank Kaminsky. They'll go Hollis Jefferson on probably Decker and then Johnson on Hayes. They're able to match up with Wisconsin's agility, basically, because that's what makes part of Wisconsin's really good, because they're disciplined, but also because they're quicker than probably 90% of teams, because they're able to run a five out offense and that swing offense. And it's a true five out offense where everyone can shoot threes and everyone can slash to the rim. So it's going to be interesting to see how Arizona matches up against that, with Arizona's pack line defense that Sean Miller runs, where they're trying to cut off penetration. They're able to match up with the quickness of Kaminsky. Like, Kaminsky being a stretch five isn't that big of a deal to them, because they'll just sit Tarzewski on the bench and put Ashley at five and put Ashley on Kaminsky and let his length try and bother him. So that's definitely the most intriguing matchup to me. Another matchup beyond that, I think that Arkansas-North Carolina is going to be a really fun game if that happens, because they're both so fast. They play high. They're both top 10 in tempo this year. That would be like an 85-80 game, I think.
I'm here for that. That would be appointment viewing for me.
Yeah, like, if that happens, that's going to be a terrific basketball game. And then Ohio State-Arizona, if that happens, you'll get to see D'Angelo Russell against Stanley Johnson. And more than that, you'll get to see D'Angelo Russell go against a very, very good defensive backcourt, where they will probably put Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on him. And it's going to be tough for D'Angelo Russell to get penetration against that. They're going to have to run him off of all kind of ball screens to get him loose from Hollis-Jefferson. And that's going to be more of like a spot-up game for Russell, I feel like, as opposed to a game where he has the ball in his hands a lot. And that's going to be really an intriguing matchup, in my opinion.
That's our easiest path to two potential top five picks playing each other, probably, right?
Throughout the entire tournament?
Yeah, that's... I can't imagine there's another second-round game, a round of 32 game, that could put us in a position like that.
No, there's not.
Kind of reminds me of when... U.S. When Durant lost to USC in the second round, Mayo was on that team, right? Or was he gone already?
It was, I want to say it was Mayo Beasley. It was USC Kansas State.
All right, now you're going to make me look this thing up. This is going to make for great podcast radio here. You're right.
USC, I'm pretty sure USC won the Pac-12 that year and was the 6, and then Michael Beasley's Kansas State was the 11.
I thought Durant lost to USC also in the second round.
It's possible. I don't remember that.
And what's great is when you type in, because ESPN's in that stage where they're like confused about football and basketball, when you type in the Texas's name, it doesn't go straight to them, so I have to go through another way. What year was Durant's year in college?
That was 07, right?
Let's see, 07, 08. No, they made it too far in the tournament that year.
No. I think it was 06, 07.
06, 07. Wow, is that long ago? That's crazy. Yeah, they lost to USC. They got smoked by 19. It was Durant. No, it was Nick Young. I was right about the USC part. They had Nick Young and Taj Gibson. There was no OJ Mayo there.
You don't mess with Swaggy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Nick Young beat Kevin Durant. Rick Barnes. What are you doing?
That's just like the theme of the Rick Barnes tenure at Texas. What are you doing?
They had three NBA, well, two lottery picks and Damian James in their starting lineup, and they lost to, USC had Nick Young and Taj Gibson, but you had like the best, God, Rick Barnes, how do you do that? Oh boy, all right, glad we got that straightened out. Draft prospect you think has the most to prove?
Most to prove in this region, that's a fun one. There are a lot of really, really good prospects in this region. North Carolina has a couple guys, Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks. They both need to prove that they can play against size if they would get through to play Arkansas in that next round. Arizona has a couple guys, just because Stanley Johnson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, they need to keep. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson needs to keep showing an offensive game at some point.
Like, that's a good one.
And then Nigel Hayes is a really interesting one, too, from Wisconsin. He's a guy that I can see having a really big tournament and moving up into, like, that Draymond Green area where Draymond went in, like, the early second round. And he'd probably go in the first round because so many people like what Draymond has done in the NBA. I don't think that Hayes is that good. I don't think that he's able to play on the perimeter as well as Draymond is now. So I wouldn't go that high on him, but I think if he has a good tournament, teams will like him.
Is Joseph Young, is he any sort
of
too small?
He's like 6'3", 6'2"-ish. So that's going to be a problem for him.
He would have to be like a scoring guard off the bench. He'd have to carve out a role in that way for him.
Yeah. He might be able to do that, honestly. We've seen enough of Joseph Young to where we know what he is at this point. Like, I don't know what he has to prove anymore. Like, he'll need to go to the combine and perform well more than he can prove it here.
Okay, and you already said Arizona is your pick. You are going to pick Arizona to beat Wisconsin?
I am picking Arizona to beat Wisconsin because I like the matchup. I think they're going to go small. As long as Sean Miller is willing to go small. And I don't see why he wouldn't. He's a smart guy.
And he's done that this year. He hasn't been hesitant to bench Zeus this season.
Yeah, he absolutely has. Like, I think he'll probably start Zeus and realize it's a disaster and go small.
Okay, that wraps up the West. We're going to keep moving along to the South and the East as we continue the Amateur Hour March Madness Preview Podcast.